Imagine if your smartphone, car, and home suddenly disappeared. Not because they weren't invented yet, but because humanity lacked the materials to create them. This was reality for most of human history. Our relationship with materials defines who we are and what we can achieve. While all organisms use materials, termites build massive mounds and marine creatures sequester gigatons of minerals annually, humans stand apart through our unique ability to extract, transform, and combine materials with increasing complexity. This relationship has allowed us to reshape our environment and create technologies that would seem magical to our ancestors. Our material journey began with simple stone tools 2.6 million years ago, but the first real breakthrough came 164,000 years ago when humans began heat-treating stones to improve their properties. Early humans showed remarkable skill in selecting specific materials, obsidian, flint, and chert, prized for their predictable fracture patterns and sharp edges. As societies developed, we mastered fired pottery around 6000 BCE, created sophisticated textiles that predated agriculture, and built megalithic structures like Stonehenge that demonstrated remarkable engineering capabilities without modern equipment. The early modern era, 1500 to 1800, marked humanity's first significant steps toward mass consumption. Dutch Golden Age paintings reveal comfortable homes with previously rare luxuries: glass windows, decorative tiled floors, sturdy wooden furniture, and imported goods. Though most housing remained primitive, a revolutionary cultural shift was underway. People began aspiring to material well-being in unprecedented ways. The 19th century transformed these early stirrings through parallel revolutions, expanded extraction of traditional materials, and surging metal consumption. Paris's modernization under Baron Haussmann, 1853 to 1870, required an estimated 25 million tons of limestone for 40,000 new buildings. Railways expanded from just 56 kilometers in 1830 to 775,000 kilometers globally by 1900, requiring billions of cubic meters of materials and transforming landscapes worldwide. The metals revolution fundamentally altered manufacturing capabilities. Henry Bessemer's decarburization process enabled inexpensive steel production, increasing output from 200,000 tons in 1800 to 9.5 million tons by 1900. This new material strength allowed buildings to reach unprecedented heights and machines to operate under intense pressures. The 20th century witnessed a revolutionary transformation in material production. Iron maintained its dominance, with global output reaching 1 billion tons annually by 2000, 30 times higher than in 1900. Per capita steel consumption jumped from less than 20 to about 140 kilograms a year, enabling massive infrastructure projects and fueling automotive industry growth. Aluminum emerged as the century's signature metal, rising from less than 7,000 tons to nearly 25 million tons annually, eventually doubling copper production. Despite requiring enormous energy, each ton needs approximately 5,270 kilograms of bauxite ore and vast electricity, it became essential in aerospace, packaging, and construction. Plastics revolutionized manufacturing after World War II, rapidly replacing traditional materials. Though synthetic materials began with 1870s celluloid, the breakthrough came with bakelite in 1907. The 1930s became plastics' golden era. DuPont's neoprene created new synthetic rubber possibilities, ICI's polyethylene transformed packaging, and Carathers' nylon revolutionized textiles. Global plastic production soared from under 50,000 tons in the early 1930s to 265 million tons by 2010, surpassing steel in volume. The century's most crucial material innovation was the Haber-Bosch process for ammonia synthesis, which enabled modern agriculture and population growth. Without this breakthrough in nitrogen fixation, supporting the additional 4.5 billion people who arrived during the century would have been impossible. In 1900, global fertilizer nitrogen consumption was just 350,000 tons, meeting only 2% of crop needs. After Haber's 1909 demonstration, production exploded, rising from 150,000 tons in 1920 to 85 million tons by 2000, a 570-fold increase. Today, this process produces over 450 million tons of nitrogen fertilizer annually, supporting approximately half of global food production. When you enjoy a meal, there's roughly a 50% chance the protein exists because of the Haber-Bosch process, making it perhaps the most important industrial process ever developed, despite remaining largely invisible to most people. Today's construction industry evolves through a blend of traditional materials and innovations. Wood remains dominant in North American construction, with engineered wood products like glued laminated lumber revolutionizing timber construction. These products deliver more than twice the strength of traditional sawn timber while matching structural steel's performance per unit mass. Concrete has become the world's most ubiquitous construction material. Mixtures have evolved from 25 MPa capabilities in 1900 to high-performance formulations reaching 150 to 200 MPa today. China's cement production reached 1.88 billion tons in 2010, 55% of global output, reflecting concrete's role in rapid urbanization. However, each ton of cement generates approximately 1 ton of CO2, contributing nearly 5% of global carbon emissions. Steel production has advanced significantly. Modern blast furnaces have grown substantially, while basic oxygen furnaces reduced processing times from 10 hours to just 40 minutes. Electric arc furnaces offer a more sustainable approach through scrap metal recycling. These advances have increased efficiency, though reducing steel's carbon footprint remains challenging. The energy required to produce materials varies dramatically. Construction materials generally have low energy costs. Natural stone requires around 500 MJ/ton, while sand mining needs just 100 MJ/ton. Metals demand much more energy. Steel production has become significantly more efficient, with global average energy consumption dropping from 60 gigaton to 1950 to about 20 gigaton by 2000. Aluminum production is extraordinarily energy intensive, requiring 13 to 18 megawatt hours per ton of electricity plus additional processing energy, totaling about 175 gigaton, nearly twice copper's intensity and almost 10 times steel's. Electronic-grade silicon demands even more, approximately 2,100 kilowatts per kilogram, making it 100 to 1,000 times more energy-intensive than common metals. These energy requirements constitute significant portions of global energy use. In 2010, materials production consumed about 20% of global energy supply, with steel accounting for 7%, plastics 4%, construction materials 3%, paper 2%, and fertilizers 1.6%. This represents remarkable efficiency progress. Had steel production remained at 1900 energy intensities, 2010 production alone would have required 20% of global energy rather than 6%. Despite declining material intensity and economic output, per capita material consumption continues rising, even in affluent societies. What appears as dematerialization often represents complex material substitution. Computer-assisted design eliminates paper, but requires extensive electronic infrastructure. Material improvements occur through design refinements, lighter substitutions, recycling, or new technologies. The soft drink can evolution demonstrates this progression. Aluminum cans dropped from 85 grams to just 12.75 grams, enabling 2.3-fold consumption with only 60% more aluminum. Contrary to catastrophist predictions, our civilization faces no imminent mineral shortages. Resources represent total material in Earth's crust, while reserves are economically extractable portions that evolve through investment and technical advances. R&D continues across sectors, focusing on nanomaterials, graphene, carbon nanotubes, self-cleaning glass, bendable concrete, and self-healing materials. We must choose between continuing our unsustainable river economy or pursuing rational futures with moderated material use that maximize quality of life. The gap between 1.5 billion haves and 5.5 billion have-nots remains so vast that even modest aspirations among the materially deprived would require generations of continued material growth. Our challenge is balancing dignity for all while preserving our planet, transforming from mindless consumption to thoughtful stewardship.